Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is August 19th of 2016. It's just trucking right along. And we are having just gorgeous, beautiful days today. It's unseasonably beautiful here in Eureka Springs. We're in Eureka Springs. Yeah, let's see. Where did I get to? It's a metaphysical hour. I don't even know where I am now.
You're in Eureka Springs,
Yes.
and we have big puffy clouds and beautiful blue skies.
Yes, it is.
It's
Yeah,
nice.
it's very nice.
Very pretty.
Yeah, and I'm Julia Cannon. I'm here with Marilyn Dyke because we're here doing the level three class in Eureka Springs. So it's a little. I'm not normally doing that, so that's why it's a little different. And yeah, I'm normally working and then at my desk. And then do this. And so this is where it's all different.
Oh,
And
okay,
yeah.
so we're in a real different location.
Yes, we are. Yeah. So
Fun.
it is, it's very different. And and then we're here in the land of vortex energy. So we have that
Oh,
working in our
yeah,
favor
I've been
too.
feeling that all week.
It makes for fun sleep, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you've been to Eureka several times now. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love the energy here. I love Arkansas. So beautiful here. Oh, and I actually got a little bit of time to go down and poke around the shops in the town, which is just amazing. I mean, it's so well built in the early 1800s, I think. So yeah, a lot of history there.
You know more about it than I do.
Yeah. You'll have to go as a tourist
I
next
know.
time.
I know. I never get to go in. I'm always here doing
Yeah.
business, doing work. I never get to go in
Oh,
and go
wow.
shopping.
You'll have to, yeah. Lots of really cool stuff, interesting shops and history with the Crescent Hotel.
Oh,
Yeah.
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 Crescent is cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
a real neat area. I'd like to explore more
Yeah.
someday.
Yeah. So you went shopping and around the shops and everything.
Yeah,
Very
yeah,
cool.
yeah. I didn't get back to the Crescent Hotel, but I know. I mean, it's a beautiful place to go have something to eat. They have that big dining room, and then when we were there a couple of years ago, in the evening,
Yeah.
they've got that observation tower. Yeah, that was
Oh
so
gosh, you can see
beautiful.
forever from
Oh
up there.
yeah. But the thing about Arkansas is that you've got that. There's a lot of space in between towns, and you've got that when it's nighttime, it's nice and dark, and you got that big, beautiful sky, like you get in Sedona.
Yes. Yes, where you might just see anything.
You might,
Yeah,
yeah.
and we don't have a lot of light pollution here.
No,
So,
yeah, that's what I was trying
yes.
to say. Yeah. So it's a real pleasure to be able to look up in the sky because I sure don't see that at home. No.
Oh, and that's what's really cool is what's been happening like during our UFO conferences is just about every time during them we have some interesting sights.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this would be the place for it. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before we get on with your story and everything, a few announcements. We've been talking about some of the classes that are coming up, and we have some things like September, we have level two and level three classes coming up in Dublin, Ireland. And then in October, level two, no, it's not level three, it's level two and level one companion course in Dublin, Ireland, level two and level one companion course in Toronto, Canada, and level two, and that's in October, and then level two class in Beijing in December. And then also we have a classes coming up in Singapore, but need to look online as to what that's just, we're still creating that. So don't know exactly. I think it's a level two and probably a level three. So look online if you want to know more about that. So stay tuned to the websites, and that'll finish out the year this year. And then we have so much coming up next year. We are really going to be busy with
You're
just go, go,
going
go.
to run off your
Oh, girl,
feet.
you're going too. You're right there too.
Oh,
I mean, you're doing these classes as well.
it'll be fun.
Yes.
They're always
Oh,
fun.
they always are.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much fun, everything we see.
Yeah, I know. I go home and it's like you miss that closeness, that little bubble of, really, it feels like another dimension we're in during a class.
Yeah, the classes and the sessions, they all do that. You know, they do it in different ways. Because I think we do go to different dimensions.
I think so. That's the way what it feels like to me. And, you're standing up there at the beginning of class, and it's just like, okay, how long before the bubble forms? Yeah. You know, it doesn't take very long. Usually, sometimes the same day, the first day. But by the second day, for sure, you can feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, anyway, well, you've already kind of met Marilyn, but let's officially meet Marilyn. So here we have Marilyn Dyke, and she's level 3 practitioner and one of the moderators of the official QHHT forum. Mm-hmm. And so what I would like you to do, Marilyn, is tell us a little bit about your story, you know, how you came into this wild, wacky world of QHHT, because I know you weren't born into it, you know.
No.
It's you know, I mean, were you always into metaphysics? And because that's kind of how...
Yeah.
You know, people come into here it's usually through metaphysics.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I had just even thoughts as a child, you know, thinking about things that, you know, normal 4-year-olds don't think about. And my parents were into Edgar Cayce and all kind, you know, things like that. So it was kind of sort of normal. And then, but you know, you get busy with life, you get busy working, get married, having kids, doing all that stuff. Still reading, got really interested in UFOs, so read a lot about that in the 70s and the 80s. And then finally, I sort of, you know, kept asking my guides, well, you know, is it time now to really, because I always knew I was just going to step in with both feet. And finally, it was about the mid-90s, and my kids were teens then, and they said, yep, go for it. So I got busy, and I hooked up with some people at a metaphysical shop we had in town. I took all kinds of courses. I got into making herbal medicines. I got into... crystal and stone healing. I took courses in that. Reiki, definitely. And then I was so lucky because through this store I had the opportunity to really work at healing, doing a lot of healing, because they had what they called a free healing night once a month. And you just work literally on body after body after body.
Wow.
It was fascinating what was coming through, because I never considered that I would be able to access that kind of information. And then, of course, I started teaching Reiki. I wasn't too sure I could do that, but I started doing that. And then about 2004, I was in, we have a big bookstore in Vancouver called Banyan Books, and it's been around for 40 years. And I was in there looking for a new author. None of the authors I had been reading had come out with any new books. So I looked up on the shelf and I see Convoluted 2. I thought, well, that's an interesting title, and that's a nice thick book. It'll keep me busy for a while, you know. So I sat down and I looked at it, and then I looked at your mom's bio on the back page, and I thought, you know, this woman's writing this kind of information. She, you know, Dolores is just so believable. I mean, she really caught me with her bio. So I bought it, brought it home. Well, the rest is history. I read everything I could get my hands on. I mean, I was like, you know, emailing down here, you know, when's the next book coming out?
Oh, you were one of those people.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, dear. So, and then, like I always say, I came to becoming a QHHT practitioner kicking and screaming, which wasn't really, but anyway, I got on your newsletter list, and in one of the newsletters was an advertisement for classes that you were having in the spring. And I sent it down to my girlfriend in San Diego with a subject line, want to do this, and then promptly forgot I had even done that. So she emails back a couple of months later and says, yeah, let's do this. It'll be fun. And I looked at it. I says, No, I don't want to go down there and learn that. I'd rather have past life regression done to me. Oh, come on, it'll be fun. We'll go down there. It'll be like a holiday, and we'll have a good time. So I went along with it. You know, I'm sitting in class, and your mom's talking about the first day of class. You know, it was just mm-hmm. the three-day class then.
Right, right.
And your mom's talking about the healing that had that she had seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what that woman is doing with this process in one session would take me, you know, weeks and weeks of sessions sometimes with Reiki to accomplish. And not only that, not only the healing aspect, but they're finding out what caused it. And, it, you know, sometimes it's from something from another life. Mm-hmm. So this just really, I'm a practical mm-hmm. person, and this just really caught my attention. So I took the class, and the rest is history, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I think it's funny because you were like, well, at the beginning it's like, well, no, I don't want to do this. I want it done to me. And
yeah.
It's like, well, no, this isn't what I want.
I remember telling her, you know, honestly, I cannot see myself as a hypnotist.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I just, you know, it just never dawned on me mm-hmm. that that's what I would be doing. Yeah. But it's fascinating work. Mm-hmm. I love it. And yeah.
And you're so good at it. You are. And then here you are. I mean, and you did go in both feet. And
yeah.
And here you are headlong into it. And
yeah.
Helping
yeah,
so
yeah.
many people. Yeah. Okay, now I want to back up just a little bit. You mm-hmm. made a comment that 70s and 80s, you were really into UFOs and everything.
Yeah, I read lots of books.
Okay. My memory of the 70s and everything. Okay, this is something I want to explain. You were raised in a different country than here, than in the United States, right?
I was raised in Canada. Well, mostly in Canada.
Okay. Yeah. So did they have more there? Well, 70s, I guess they were starting to come out with some things.
Well,
right?
I remember in Canada in the 70s, because we left and moved to Australia in 74.
Okay.
And I remember some talk about that Betty and Barney Hill, mm-hmm. that case.
Mm-hmm.
I remember somebody saying there's a book on that. I can't remember if I read that in Canada or Australia, but about that time.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think, no, communion came later. But when I moved down to Australia, that's when I found a couple more books. There wasn't an awful lot,
okay.
But I did find a couple more books. And so the whole idea was really, because I had heard about flying saucers, but I hadn't really delved into the subject.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, because you're in another country. I was just wondering if there was more in other countries than there was here.
I would say if anything, there was less at that time in Australia, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not that they weren't having, things happen.
Right.
It's just that they weren't talking about, people weren't writing a lot of books about
right.
it that I noticed anyway at that time, yeah. And Canada, I can't, you know, we pretty much, like I remember when Communion came out, you know, it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty close in Canada, but in Australia, it was about a year, you know, later.
Right.
They seemed to, especially at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, yeah, at that time. Well, see, because that really, those stories hit. Well, you're saying it about then. I vaguely remember. I don't remember at the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now, thinking back, when those really came out.
Yeah. It was, well, this was about the mid-70s
okay.
that I remember. And it was just basically Betty and Barney Hill, that one. And I really can't remember, you know, maybe one other one. I can't remember. When I got back to Canada, we moved back in 78.
Mm.
That's when I really... I was finding a lot more books.
Okay.
Yeah.
So So it was really just opening up.
It was, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I first started, it was the, you know, I'd heard about the flying saucers, you know, and seeing things in the sky. But the whole abduction idea was just starting to take off then, yeah. And that just fascinated me.
Very different now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because in those days, you weren't putting the two and two together, like the spiritual aspect of it. It was the nuts and bolts aspect of it more. And now, you know, we're putting it, we're seeing how it's all intertwined together.
Yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So fast forward to now you've taken the class, and you mentioned you took it when it was a three-day class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have evolved that quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
and that's what we were doing here, what we did before the level three that we're doing now. We were doing a companion class, which is the 3-day.
Yeah.
And I liked where you brought in your perspective was how this was, you kept saying, I wish we would have had this.
Oh,
when you went through,
yeah.
So can you share some of that a little bit?
Okay. Well, when I took the level one, it was a 3-day class, and on the third day, your mom did a demonstration, and so we saw how she worked, but we just watched. And then, of course, we left and we went back to my friend's
place. Yeah, she's like, go forth and practice.
Yeah,
and
go
good
forth
luck.
And practice. Yeah, yeah. And you're kind of, you know, hanging there. Luckily, my girlfriend had taken the class with me. So we went back to her place and we practiced on each other. And, of course, you know, we didn't really realize what we got. I mean, it worked. It worked right away, despite the fact that we had not uttered that induction. You know, it was just the first time for both of us. And it worked. So that was amazing. But, you know, now with the companion class, to be able to ask questions after you've done, because they get a chance to work. And sometimes they worked even multiple times with the same person. I think that one person had two or three sessions.
Some had some sessions. Some had been afraid to start having sessions.
Yeah.
You get them from all different places, you know. So
yeah. Because you come out of the 3-day class and it's like you've got all the instructions, but oh my gosh, what do I do?
Right.
You really don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you follow along blindly, but you also, there's no one to bounce the ideas off of. Like, am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. Really? Honestly, it wasn't until we started the level three that I really got any feedback on what I was doing in my sessions. With the companion class, they're getting feedback right there. It's just, it's amazing. I was just like, oh, if I'd had this, you know. And now, you know, I really feel that those people who are in the companion class, they are set off on a really, they have a really strong foundation to go, because really it is practice. That's what you need to do, practice, practice, practice. But they've gotten, you know, so much more foundation or behind them to feel more comfortable
to start from.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what we kept saying later. It's like, my hats are off to all of you guys that started with that three, because, well, we didn't know. I mean, it was like mom kept saying when they told her, go teach.
Yeah.
She just said, okay, well, can I teach something that I just developed.
Yeah.
And so she was just
flying. It was a real process for
Absolutely.
You guys, just as much as it was for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, hats off to her for you know, bringing this forward and doing all the research and honing it down to something that could so easily be taught.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, it was. All we had to do was follow the script, follow the directions that she had given us. So it was simple, and yet, you know, you always have your self-doubt at first when you start anything new.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm so envious of them.
Well, but they have you and all of your practice and expertise now to back them up and support them.
Yeah, in class. And that's the fun part, to be mm-hmm. able to help people who, you know, are, they think they're struggling. No, you're fine. You know?
Yeah.
You're doing it fine. You just, you know, a lot of it is just relaxing and enjoying yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's, so now, okay, then you got out and you started practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So let's talk about some of your sessions.
Okay.
And the ones I love to start talking about at the beginning, because we know profound, wonderful things happen
oh,
in
yeah.
sessions.
Yeah.
And some of the great, most wonderful, profound things that happen are healing things. So
yeah.
have you seen any healing things in there?
Well, actually, in that first session that my girlfriend facilitated mm-hmm. for me, mm-hmm. I was having trouble with my right hip.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember laying there, you know, and, you know, the answers were coming and whatnot. But I, of course, I'm thinking, well, you know. I don't have anything to compare it to. I don't know if I'm even doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked the question for my right hip. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody was pushing down, pushing me right into the bed,
mm-hmm.
right on my right hip. And I thought, oh, okay, this works. You know? End of story. My right hip, I didn't have any more problems with it. And that's one thing that I've noticed all the way through my personal sessions that I've had, is that the healing is always there. If the higher self, the SC, says it's healed, it truly is healed. And that's what I've noticed throughout all of it. I've always, and it's always interesting how it's done. Sometimes there's sensations. Sometimes you don't know. You wait and it evolves later. Or sometimes, you know, healing even happens before you get to your session. And that's kind of what I wanted to start with today, because
mm-hmm.
you never know when healing is going to sort of complete for a client.
Mm-hmm.
And for this client, she when she got in touch with me, this is quite an early session, she told me that she had been pensioned because she'd had a workplace accident and her back was injured and there was nothing more that they could do for her. She was on meds and they had given her a pension because she could no longer work. So this is what really the main interest for her in having the session, because it was to the point where she just, she was in constant pain with it and she really wanted some relief. So we booked her session and 2 weeks later, she's coming up my front steps and she says, you know, it's really interesting, but the moment I pressed the send button to book this session, my back pain left me, and it hasn't returned. So I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, because
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking in my head, well, I remember Dolores talking about
mm-hmm.
that, you know?
That's right.
And as soon as you make the intention to have that session, they're already working with you.
That's right.
So I thought, oh, okay, yeah, she's right.
By golly, this works.
Yeah. Why do I need this? I don't know, you know, to have this confirmation constantly. But anyway, so we went through and she had a session and it was really a normal kind of a session. We went through and, but she'd already had her healing really. And then it was about a month and a half later, she emailed me and she said, you know, I'm still pain-free. I can even drive my little truck. She had a little truck standard, which she said was, the seat was so uncomfortable, she could drive her truck all over the place, no back pain whatsoever. So that was wonderful. I just
mm-hmm.
love that. I love that story. And there's also, you know, emotional healing that's done as well as the physical healing. And this story is kind of cool. It's just a short little story. A client came, and in amongst her questions was, why am I so afraid of spiders? It's absolutely irrational how crazy afraid I am of spiders. So we get in there and I ask her question, and her higher self says, well, she was a soldier in Vietnam. She was a male in that lifetime, and she was captured. And when they captured her, they threw her into a pit of spiders.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. obviously, yeah. that's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the real kicker was later on after the session, we're sitting and talking, and all of a sudden, you know, she's talking away, and all of a sudden I look, and she reaches her hand up, and she grabs this, I couldn't even see what it was. What it was a little tiny spider had come down right in front of her. It was almost touching her nose. It was that close. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I always do a spider sweep, mm-hmm. especially in the fall, right. Before my client comes. And here's this spider coming down off the ceiling. It was weird. Anyway, I watch her. She grabs it by the web and just very calmly lets it back down on the ground, and then she looks at me with this strange look in her face, and she said, that wouldn't have happened a couple hours ago. So that was, you know, I mean, even though it was quite a traumatic experience, mm-hmm. you know, once she knew what caused it, it was gone. That was it for that. Another really cool one that I've had is a person who came who had broken their foot quite badly, mm-hmm. and it was quite a few operations, I assume, to put it all back together again. But it had, I guess, sometimes that the healing doesn't quite take, whatever it was, the foot had atrophied, and she showed me, and it was quite a bit shorter and also narrower in width than her normal foot. And that was one of her questions, to have that healed. So I remember during the session when the healing was happening, she was like, ooh, it's uncomfortable, ooh, you know, when they were working on it. Mm-hmm. So she knew that they were working on it. Well, we bring her out of the session, and she sits down, and she's looking at her foot, and I saw this with my own eyes. I even checked her heels to make sure they were both in the same spot. Those two feet were exactly the same size. Totally, you know, just mm-hmm. blew me away that. Scars are an interesting, I've had at least a couple of scars and birthmarks are so interesting, because mm-hmm. they really, when you find out the reason for that birthmark or that mm-hmm. scar, it puts, yes. you know, just mm-hmm. puts it all together so right. beautifully. This woman who came, she's from Fiji, but she's of East Indian descent. So she has that, I would say, a medium brown to slightly, a darkish medium brown skin. Uh-huh. And when we were talking in the pre-talk, one of her questions was about the white blotches she had on her right arm. And I remember her showing me, and I'm thinking in my head, gee, that looks like she's been burned. But she says, it's always been there. I was born with it. My mom said it was there when I was born. And I, you know, I'm clueless as to what caused this. Mm-hmm. And then she says, well, there's also some long scars on my back. And when I was a baby, my mom took me to the doctor to check for something else. And when the doctor looked at the baby's back, he accused her mom of beating her. He says, what are you doing to this child? And her mom says, that's the way she was born. She's been like that from day one. So she also had these slashing scars on her back. So she gets into the past life, and she's a young girl. I believe she's about 6. She's standing outside watching her house burning down, and her entire family is in that house.
Oh, no.
She's the only one who escaped. And then she tells me, but my right arm is burned. So they take her to hospital. This is in France, by the way. They take her to hospital, and she said, yeah, I spend about a month in hospital, or I'm just going by memory for this one. But she spent some time in hospital, and they healed the burn. And then when she got out of hospital, she had no family, so they put her directly into an orphanage. And so she lived in the orphanage until she turned 18. And then in those days, when a child turned 18, they were put out on the street with their few belongings, and that's what happened to her. So this orphanage was in a smallish town. So she's literally wandering the street. She has no idea, no money, doesn't know what she's going to do, no place to go. And she meets this man and woman. I guess they saw that she was lost and hungry, and they offer her a place in their home. So she gladly accepts it. They seem quite nice. And I remember her telling me about how she's sitting around the table with this man and this woman and these other girls, and how it felt like this was the first time she really felt like home. But of course, what it was a brothel.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, but, you know, this was her link to home. This was home for her. Mm-hmm. So she stayed and she worked, but I guess once or twice, maybe more, she said she refused a certain customer, and the man would beat her on the back with a switch, like a stick. Mm-hmm. That's where the scars in her back come from. So after the session, we looked at the white on her. I never did see the scars on her back, the white blotches on her arm, and it looked. And we both agreed there was less. Now I hadn't seen her. I think it was about 3 years, and she came to a Reiki class I did a year ago spring. And we started talking about this, and she showed me, and there was still a little bit of the white blotches, mm-hmm. but great. I mean, it was mm-hmm. it was all over that arm, quite a bit less. And she says, "I don't know about the marks on my back because I haven't even thought to look in the mirror." Mm-hmm. She just accepted and went mm-hmm. on her way. So, yeah, I just you know, mm-hmm. it just in the past life, it just fell into place like that. It was beautiful. This other person had a really bad hip, just a sweetheart woman. This woman exudes love. And so we had a little bit of a time getting her settled because, of course, I have them laying on a bed, usually on their back, mm-hmm. and she couldn't lay on her back. She says, "I never even sleep on my back. I have to lay on my side." So, okay, we got her all tucked in, and finally, really, I thought, I don't even know if we're going to be able to have a session because she wasn't able to find a comfortable position. Finally, we got enough pillows in there. She was comfy. So we started it. And I can't even remember what her past life was. But when I'm talking to her higher consciousness, her higher self, I started asking her questions. And, of course, one of the first questions was, you know, what can you do about her hip? It's been really bothering her. So her higher self was one of these real chatty ones and so funny. So
love
funny.
Those kind of.
Oh, yeah. And she was from Russia. Originally, mm-hmm. so she had a bit of an accent, mm-hmm. and I remember at the beginning, I gave her the suggestion that, you know, all the English words you need will be right there, they'll just flow effortlessly. So anyway, her higher self was quite chatty and going on and doing the healing, and then starts complaining, "Oh, she's right back. Oh, she's a stubborn one. Oh," and I said, "Well, you know, do you think, oh, yes, we'll keep working. We'll keep working. Go on and ask more questions." So I'd ask more questions. And every once in a while, I'd check in and, "Oh, she's such a stubborn one. You know, we'll keep working and we'll get her." You know? So it took most of the session. All of a sudden, their higher self says, "Oh, that's done." Plops her over on her back, just rolls her right over on her back. And I said, "Well, you know, is she going to be okay like this?" "Oh, yes, her hip's done now. She finally let us complete it. She'll be fine, no problems at all." So we finished the session. When I brought her back up, She, the look on her face was hysterical. She's just, she's in shock. She just looks at me and she says, "How did I get on my back?" And I said, "Well, your higher self put you there."
Yeah. Oh, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not feeling any pain. So, but it was really cute. The higher self even said at one point, "Oh, and thank you for that suggestion of speaking in English words. That really helped." So cute. I just love that.
Well, you may not remember this, but you know, I always like to get to the cause or anything. Do you happen to remember what it maybe said?
No. Can't remember what it said was the reason, because I'm just looking back at at stuff.
Session.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm always curious as to that. Yeah.
Okay. So. I would, at a guess, it's about moving forward for her. Okay. Because she, like I say, this woman exudes love, and actually she has gone on from this session to create, she loves working with teens. Mm-hmm. To create this program for parents in order to be able to help their teens. And it's all through love. Mm-hmm. She says,
"Oh, cool."
Yeah, because she's got teenagers herself. Mm-hmm. And she says there's nothing there's not a teen alive that won't respond to love. Mm-hmm. And so that's what she's that's what she's teaching parents now. So this was to get her going on that.
Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah. Another person had, her eyes were so dry, she had to put drops in, at least every hour. And in fact, if she even had to wake herself up during the night to put drops in her eyes. Otherwise her eyelid would stick to the cornea, and that was extremely painful. She would,
oh my goodness.
She said sometimes she would actually tear it off. So anyway, she says, I have to put these drops in my eyes. So, okay. So I remember, I gave her a suggestion that her eyes and throat would be nice and moist and would be no problem. So she did get up to go to the washroom once during her session. I think it was after the past life. And she did put drops in. And then we just started the session again. There was no, we didn't skip a beat. Anyway, after a couple of days after her session, I get an email from her, and she says, "I went for a walk on the beach, and the wind was blowing in my face, and my eyes were perfectly normal. No dryness at all."
The true test.
Yeah, yeah, the true test, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, my question again, do you have to remember what?
I can't remember.
That had to have been something. Where did that go back to?
Yeah, that one I don't. These are all quite early sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I can't remember. Yeah. Unfortunately, if I'd known.
No problem. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's like my curiosity is like, I wonder where that was coming from. Because I love that. It's like.
Yeah, to get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice, neat little package Yeah, and there's, I've had a few people where, just simple age-related nearsightedness has been, they get up from their session and they can read the fine print. And also one that I wrote about where it was, she was so nearsighted that she needed glasses to drive. And I remember the higher self saying, if she leaves this session and puts on her glasses to drive home, the healing isn't going to take. She has to believe. Put her trust in it and believe. And so that's exactly what she did. She used her GPS, she said, to get home, and it worked okay. I don't know if I would have been that brave. But then within 2 weeks, she didn't put her glasses back on. She wasn't jumping in the car, though. She let her husband drive. But she said a couple of days later, they went to a movie. She could watch the movie in the theater without putting glasses on. And then within 2 weeks, she had an eye test. And they had her old prescription and what her eyes were then. And the prescription was vastly different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it has, she, you know, she now drives and doesn't wear her glasses. She glasses. Simple things like deviated septums, you know, she, mm-hmm. the person mm-hmm. sits up and she literally sit up on the side of the bed. She goes, takes a deep breath and, ah, I can breathe. And that was, you know, just acceptance of this. Really interesting one was because sometimes, you know, we do get people who come for weight issues or they mm-hmm. want to stop smoking, that kind of thing. And we can work with them just the same, but it's a little bit different process because, of course, we want to find out why they have the weight issues. And this one person said, you know, despite eating a normal diet, she just couldn't get the weight off. Now, when I asked her higher self about it, her higher self said, well, her real beingness is so light, she needed extra reassurances to keep her grounded. She doesn't need this anymore. And so she didn't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they continue to say it is a common thing right now, having people wanting to stay grounded because when they come in, they are so light, especially those who come from other realms, they are so light, they're not used to being incarnated in a body, and there's that fear that they're not going to be able to stay here. And so they put on weight rather than floating away. I haven't heard back from this person, but she also created some aches and pains in her body just to keep her grounded. That was the purpose for it. That one I have.
Well, and seeing on that, when you were saying that, I was like, I was going to tell you, I've heard of that. I've heard of other people saying that.
Yeah.
So, and then you said, yeah, that was common. I've heard that. Yes. Many people are saying that. And so, and then I was also going to say, but they don't have to do that anymore. So that was exactly it. Before you go on, we have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Who has a question. And this, it looks like it's Zach from Illinois again. Okay. So Zach, I'm sorry that you were waiting there. So you have a question?
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
It's all right. I'm very patient.
<We're good>.
Anyway.
How can we help you, Zach?
Anyway, I had a question for the person you're interviewing.
Yeah.
I didn't quite tune in and, you know, enough to get their name. But I had a question about if you could tell us a little bit about some of the younger people that you've interviewed. Like, who's the youngest, like some of the younger people that you've interviewed, and what has that been like?
I suppose the youngest person that I worked with in person in a session was 17 years old. And actually, she came recently very depressed, does self-harm. Doesn't understand why she's here, doesn't get Earth at all, has always felt alienated, never felt like she fit in. So, of course...
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and there's so many people like that. And not just young people, but these are the volunteers. And, you know, when they receive understanding what they're doing here, what their purpose is, just to know that there are others like them. Honestly, this girl's face at the end, she was smiling. I went out to the car where her mom was after the session, and her mom even commented mm-hmm. on how happy she was. And her mom just came for a session a couple of weeks ago, and she said it has greatly improved her daughter and her whole outlook on life, and she's able to move forward now in her life.
Well, and it's such a young age.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what that session, like a session like that, is like? like what happened? What was it that happened that made the big change?
Just understanding that.
Kind of why you're here.
Why you're here.
Yeah, yeah. Who you are and why you're here.
Yeah.
Really, that's all it is.
And to know that there are millions of others that are just like you.
Yeah. You're not here alone.
Yeah.
You're not the only one.
And for her, too, her higher self said, she didn't even ask about this, but said, you know, she's noticed that there's a bird that's, I think it was a crow, that's always sitting on the roof of the house or on the tree, and it's always there. And that bird was like her guidance, or they're watching over her. Mm-hmm. So she always, to know that she had a guide always watching over her, that's another thing too. To know that you're never alone, because she really did feel alone. Despite, you know, she has a wonderful supportive family, great relationships in that family, but still felt very alone. Friends, even, to that point. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Now, are these people, like these younger people, taken to like past lives, or did they go back to something else? Or do they go back to like other like physical lives on Earth? Is that, that's what I'm saying?
Okay. A lot of times I find that they don't go to physical lives on Earth. They go to experiences. Like source experiences, experiencing maybe just floating in color or floating in space. It's a very calm, peaceful, wonderful, loving experience. And I really, I've noticed that most of them will go to an experience like that. And that is also great reassurance. And I really want them to remember and really savor that. Listen to their recording, because they're going to hear that back again, and they can actually put themselves back in that wonderful, supportive, nurturing environment that they came from.
So for her, what was it that she went back to? Is it all right if you talk about this?
Okay, I'm here
asking
in
about
Arkansas.
Her, because, you know, we're pretty much the same age, and that's something I can relate to.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here in Arkansas, and I don't have my notes or my recordings for this session, and like these other sessions too.
That's okay.
So
can
I
you think
just
back
off
to any other sessions or any other sessions that you had where things like that have happened?
Lots of sessions, and it's not just with young people. Sometimes I have people in their 60s who come, and they have never in their entire life felt like they fit in. I mean, I feel so connected to these people. I feel so I really want to help them. And when they have experience,
I get that.
Yeah, when they can understand what is going on, it's like it gives them a new lease on life, and it's sort of like. Like the way I explain it to them is almost like you're living two lives in one, because all of that stuff that you went through, your childhood and not understanding, not fitting in, da 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 da. Well, that was all great experience, but now you can leave all that behind and move on to your purpose, what you're really here to do, because the timing wasn't quite right. But now, you know, like this young girl, she's 17, she's ready to start her life. Now, you can still do that in your 60s and 70s and 80s even. I had a woman in her 80s. It's never too late. And a lot of times these people find that actually they have been working on their purpose. They are on path. But they just need that little bit of reassurance.
Yeah, I know for some people, like for me personally, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure someone's going to laugh at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's just true. I'm 17 years old, and I experienced like all the main lessons in my life. I feel like I went through a lot of bad things in the past, but I feel like that, you know, that had a purpose to it, and the purpose of that was so that I could, you know, go through the rest of my life, you know, live you know, we people like us, we have our whole lives ahead of us, and the people yeah. like us who go through bad yeah. childhoods, the purpose of that is to make it so you can learn from that, so that way you can spend your life doing something that's constructive with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, quite often they will bring the question, why did I have to experience all that? What was the purpose of me experiencing all, you know, stuff that went on in childhood and maybe, you know, even into adulthood? And every time the higher self will say, well, how do they expect to help others if they haven't experienced it themselves? So as part of the process, because these every one of these people, their main focus in life is to help others. They will always say, I'll say, well, what do you want to do? I want to help others. I want
oh,
to
Oh, yeah,
help
I definitely
others.
Get that.
Yeah. And so
yeah,
it's that experience. Pardon?
For me personally, I've decided to write a book to help the younger people. Like me, that's why I'm asking all this, because I want to help, like, especially kids, because we don't understand what's going on, and they, you know, let's be honest, kids, they see things, they don't see, I mean, we know, there's no such thing as, you know, bad, good, darkness, and all that, you know, it's all energy, right?
Yeah.
It's all energy, it's all love, but when you're down there, and you're really consumed with all of it, you don't really see it like that,
no.
to be honest. I mean, I'm sure everyone can relate to that.
But how would you know to be able to tell them and relate to them, to tell them, unless you've experienced it and come through it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so I decided to spend my life trying to help, especially the younger people, you know, sort of get through this, like, hey, we don't need this darkness. I mean, why waste your childhood being consumed by it, by something that doesn't even exist? I mean, there's so much more better things that you could be doing besides being consumed by this.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Very
yeah.
good. You can be that light.
Now,
yeah.
Now, do these sessions happen often? Are there typically a lot of sessions with younger people that you usually get?
I don't usually get, I get more people, sometimes in their 20s. Most of the people who come are in their 30s, 40s, or 50s.
Well, I guess that would make more sense because us kids, we don't typically have a lot of opportunity to really speak about these kind of things and really have these kind of opportunities because, you know, we're still, you know, kids, you know, we don't have like these opportunities, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it depends on your family, too. Like, she has a very open family. Her aunt, who really instigated this whole thing, is very much, you know, has read all Dolores Cannon's books and really saw it, the problem for what it was, and said, you know, I really think she could benefit from this. So approached her parents, and her parents said, sure. So, but not everybody has that opportunity. Some have it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can attest to that, definitely. My parents, they are the most, I say this in the most loving way, but my parents, they are the most narrow, well, I don't even want to use the term narrow-minded as much. It's just that they don't really like to accept these kinds of things. I mean, I come from a place, you know, a little town in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, where it's kind of like a small Christian community, and everyone is like very strictly, yes, this is how it is, and they don't want to accept that, you know, things aren't how they think it is, because they believe something, then they sort of stick with it, and then they sort of reject everything that sort of opposes that, or even remotely question something that they haven't thought of before. So my parents, they don't even know about this stuff. They don't even know that I actually, to be honest, I don't even know if they even know what the word quantum or healing or any of this stuff is.
But you know what? You're shining your light. You're there for a reason. You picked you picked the place to be, and you're doing a magnificent job. And you know, I really applaud you for wanting to write this book, and I hope you do it. And I hope you get it out there real soon. I think it's going
to
be
actually writing the book when I was 15. So I hope the fact that I'm writing it from the perspective of a boy will have it make it so it has more of an impact on people.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, well, Zach, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry to cut you off real quick, but I do need to. I'd like to get Marilyn's contact information on here before we have to cut off, because we're going to have to wind this up. So how can people find you, Marilyn?
Okay, they can find me at, it's kind of a long, they can find me through QHHT official website. My name is Marilyn Dyke. My website is bodysoulapothecary.com. It's kind of a mouthful, but...
But you said it very clearly. It's just like it sounds.
Yeah, bodysoulapothecary.com.
All right. So thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's a real pleasure.
It's gone by so fast.
I know.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for being with us. And thank you, Zach, for calling in. And till next time, love you all. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.